Number two, making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ's likeness. So we said that the making process comes after the following process. According to Mark 1 and 17, and Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you become fishermen of men. So we said that all believers in our churches must be wholesome in the areas of their manhood or womanhood. And so the author, he mentions the four specific areas that seal or secure maturity into manhood and womanhood. And we said they were marriage, motive, morality, and money. So we covered the marriage, motive, morality. So let's continue to deal with this, the money aspect. See, because as the author was saying here, see, saints of God, the thing that has really hurt the body of Christ more than anything is people who refuse to grow, refuse to mature. And so, you know, you have people that's got a lot of talents, got a lot of gifts and that sort of thing and stuff. And they think that because they have gifts and because they have talents, they feel like they've arrived. But then, you know, there's no character. There's no wholeness. There's no Christ-likeness that they're exemplifying in their life. So therefore, they bring shame or bring a reproach against the name of Christ, because they have not, developed themselves and been taught or trained in a certain way. See, and the apostle always say this, you can be gifted and talented, and it can become dangerous to you, because now you don't want to submit to anybody. You don't want to submit to training and development and that sort of thing. So, you know, a person their marriage can be all raggedy and that sort of thing and stuff, and then they have wrong motives for the things that they do, and then they treat people any kind of way. You know, they have their character is just shot. So and then as it relates to money, they handle money and they are dishonest when it comes down to the area of money. And so everything in your life as it relates to becoming a breakthrough believer, you have to really come into a place of maturity so that God get the glory out of everything that happens in your life. Y'all with me? So breakthrough believers will not be able to rise in maturity to manhood or womanhood, overcome the cares of this world, and reveal Christ's likeness and character until the love of money is rooted out of their heart and soul. One of the things that I've learned from following the apostle, this is when you can tell when a gift is authentic. One of the things that I've learned about following the apostle, he has an anointing. He has an assignment from God as it relates to money. But the thing about it is his character, it has stayed on a level, his honesty, his integrity, and that kind of thing haven't wavered. You understand what I'm saying? And then my following, what it did for me was caused me to love God more. Now, if he was a person who was leading in the wrong direction, then my heart would be I would be out for money more. But my heart is after God. You understand what I'm saying? So, and then the process in which he taught us, always have taught us. See, this is why it disturbed the apostle so much. It disturbed the thing that God has placed in him. When somebody start using what God gave him, to use it to raise money and that kind of thing and stuff. I remember, I know some of y'all remember, you know, he said it from the beginning, God told him don't make no songs, don't no T-shirts, you know, no license plates, none of that kind of thing and stuff to merchandise it. And so so what happened is once somebody take it and start using it another way, he don't have no problem with nobody using. Matter of fact, and I said this to you all, he's always told us, never go after money. All of the sons that have followed him, that I've been in a company, he told us, he said, now, if I ever find out y'all playing money games, I'm cutting you loose, because that's not what it's about. So that love of money got to be rooted out. See, one thing about the love of money is when you'll do anything for it. You with me? See, so I can't. So one of the things that money coming did was taught us how to sow. See, because if you become seed conscious, it'll get rid of greed conscious. That's what it'll do. So now, Mark 4:19 says, "But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, we read Paul's warning that there will be six types of lovers in the last days. One, lovers of self. Two, lovers of money. Three, lovers of violence. Four, lovers of religion. Five, lovers of pleasure. Six, lovers of knowledge. So those who are lovers of self have total disregard for relationships and interest and the interests of others. Those who are lovers of money have total disregard for morality and ethics. Those who are lovers, let me say something about that. There's times when I've seen people have done, I mean, they have done some of the worst kind of damnable things, you know, just to hustle and get a dollar. And, you know, you have, even on jobs, you have managers who give proposition to people who are on a lower scale, you know, to sleep with them in order to, you know, give them raises and that sort of thing and stuff. And now when you go to stooping below your moral values in order to get money, then that means that the love of money is rooted in your heart. And this is one of the things that, and I'm repeating myself, that money cometh has done. It has gotten us to a place to where we're not going after money. Money coming after us. You know, I told y'all about the guy who was, you know, we were on the plane together, my first time meeting him. We were on the plane together. And then there he is, you know, he telling me about, he said, "Where you going?" I told him I was going. I was following the apostle and stuff. And he told me he fly all over the country, you know, preaching. So he said, all the flying you do, he said, Dr. Thompson pay for that? I said, no, we pay for that out of our own pocket. No, you don't pay for that. He said, well, with all the flying that y'all do following him, do y'all ever preach? I said, no, we just go to support him. So he baffled. And all you do is look at scripture and look at Jesus' ministry and how the disciples followed him. The Bible said he chose them to be with him. That was the purpose of him choosing. Why were they to be with him? Because he was training them so that when he go off the scene, they could carry it. That was the purpose of it. So in a way, the guy kind of, you know, sarcastically, you know, in his breath laughed and talked about, you know, how he go all over the country preaching here and there and stuff. And then he went to telling me about how much honorarium that he received in a year's time. And so, you know, I just kind of chuckled when he said it. And I told him, I said, well, I told him what I received, not by honorariums, but by people sowing into my life. And it wasn't computing. It wasn't. Hold on. What did you say? I said, yes, sir. Now, here you out here, you getting it by labor, and God releasing it to me by favor. So sometimes people think that they can, and this is the thing. I had a preacher tell me one time, a pastor tell me this one time. It's been some years ago, and man, it made me run from him like he had the plague. He told me, he said, man, you're a young pastor. He said, you got to know how to get money from the people. So I said, wait a minute, what is he talking about? He said, I learned this here early. He said, told me that his dad had taught him some things about how to receive an offering. So this is what he told me. He said, when you get ready to receive an offering, he said, if you really want the people to give, this is what you got to do. He said, you give them a figure of how much you want them to give. He said, that's it, says $50. He said, so just make sure you got, you know, about $200-$300 in your pocket so that you can pass out, because there's going to be some people that don't have it. He said, but when they see you passing out, you know, get this person 50, get that person 50, get that person 50. He said, then the people will say, well, amen, he's trying to help them. Let's go ahead on, just give. But that's a mind game that he played on them. And so what I did was I told him, I said, no, I don't want you to teach me nothing about how to raise no offering. And I cut him loose. See, that's why you got to be careful about running in certain circles. You got to be careful about who you are associating yourself with. Because this was in my early days of ministry. And I could have gone in the wrong direction, fooling around foolishly. But there's something on the inside of me that this thing just wasn't right. Just wasn't right. You understand what I'm saying? God was protecting me. Praise God. So you have to be careful not to become a lover of money where that money start controlling you, start making you do all kind of crazy things to get it, and that sort of thing. All right. So those who are lovers of violence have total disregard for life and peace, and those who are lovers of religion have a disregard for a fresh move of God. Those who are lovers of pleasure have a total disregard for kingdom lifestyles and values. Those who are lovers of knowledge have a total disregard for obedience as they choose to live in deception. Now, every breakthrough believer must break through in the area of giving and receiving. Their financial integrity must be above board. Now, when it comes down to you're dealing with finance, you got to always have integrity. You got to have integrity. You can't be playing no games. You can't be trying to sow a seed because it's something that, you know, you're trying to get that person to do for you. It's another thing. There's times when, you know, people will say things to you like, well, I've been praying and believing God, you know, that I need my light bill paid by the first of the month, you know, and they begin to just kind of throw what's called holy suggestions. And so they say, you know, that, you know, my light bill not paid and stuff, but I'm believing God for it. So now, see, if you really trust God, you really don't have to mention it. But you know why? Because God already got somebody who's going to sow it into your life. He's going to make it some kind of way. He's going to do it. I've seen him do it over and over. So financial integrity must be above board. They must learn to honor God in all their financial dealing with others. Secondly, the area of repayment of loans must be girded with honesty. You don't borrow folk money without the intention of paying them back. Y'all with me? And then, you know, a lot of times, you know, we get in debt and we borrow money from. And I sure hope nobody up in here borrowed no money from payday loans, because all that doing is just ripping you off. You're not gonna ever get ahead if you because I mean I think the people have about 33% interest. And it just rip you off. Just, you understand what I'm saying? So you have to really be honest in your dealing and that sort of thing and stuff. And God's gonna put you in a place where you become financially free. But you got to follow God's wisdom. So the areas of spending must be girded with wisdom. I can't just be buying, just like the apostle just finished saying. I mean, if I get my credit card and begin to start spending now for Christmas on things, what I'm doing, I am borrowing tomorrow's resources today, and I really can't afford it. But so what it's going to do is it's going to have me paying stuff back, you know, for the next, you know, 7 or 8 months after Christmas is over. It don't make sense. And then a lot of times, you know, we give gifts to people who don't even like us. Praise the Lord. You know, I've done that. I've given gifts to people who didn't even like me. You know, just trying to be a blessing, that sort of thing and stuff. And if you give gifts, you have to give it from your heart, not looking to receive anything. I mean, if they don't buy you nothing, you can't be saying, no, I done bought them something for the last 3 Christmases and they ain't never thought about me, not one time. Your motive's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? This is one thing I learned about God. Had this man, you know, I always got these stories. The Lord, I've had so many things happen in my life, and I just believe it helped people. Had this man who stayed right across the street down from me. And I saw him, he was on the side of the road, and I recognized him, and I stopped. He had a flat, you know, and so I stopped to help him and got him back on the road and stuff. And then, I don't know, a couple of weeks or so later, I was in my old Huckabuck truck, and it put me on the side of the road. And guess who I saw pass by? Looked me right in the face. It was the man I had helped, and I was upset. I said, man, you know this ain't right. I said, I just finished helping that man a few weeks ago, and that man passed right by me like he never saw me. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, what was your purpose of helping him? So that when you break down, he could help you? God said, no. He said, whenever you help a person, what's happening is I am helping that person, but I'm using you to help them. He said, so your reward comes from me. So you can't look for that person to pay you back because I'm the one that's going to reward you. He says, so what you can do is thank me that I use you to be a blessing to them. But you can't look to them for your blessing. So I said, oh, the Lord said, yeah, because your motive was wrong because you expect that person to do something. So somebody else came by and helped me out. And the Lord said, that's how I work. Say, it doesn't always come through the person who you've helped. And you can't look for it that way. God said, because I'm sovereign. I can do what I want to do, how I want to do it. And so from that point there, I stopped looking at things whenever I've done something for people, looking for those same people to return the favor back. No. God's got a way of always having somebody who's going, the blessing is going to come. I mean, why are you worried about which way it's coming from? You know, it's coming from God. So why in the world you getting all disturbed because it wasn't the person who you helped? Praise the Lord. All right. So I'm saying it again. They must learn to honor God in all their financial dealings with others. I don't care if you have a business or whatever and stuff, whatever kind of financial dealing you're doing. Don't be a get over. Don't be manipulating folk. And that sort of thing and stuff. You know, like if I have somebody to do something for me work-wise, well, I want the best price. You understand what I'm saying? So I had a man who I need him to do some electrical work for me. I don't know. That man wanted to charge me, I think, about $1,800 to do it. And then they had a guy came he told me he'd do it for $250. I know he couldn't do that for $250. You understand what I'm saying? And but I allowed him to do it. But when he finished, I gave him $600 or $700. I mean, I could have, I know good and well that man could not, the other man may have been charging me a little bit too much, but this man, he was charging me way too little. So what was I to do? I would just go ahead and take that $250, and then when he find out that that wasn't enough that he charged me, then I just say, well, look, that's what you charged me. That's what I'm gonna pay you. No, you have to know that from $1,800 to $250, you got to know that somebody losing somewhere through that. Somebody trying to gain a whole lot, but somebody's gonna lose a whole lot. And so I blessed the man with more, and that's the way God wants us to operate when we're dealing with other folk. And again, I said, in the areas of repayment of loans must be girded with honesty. I mean, if the folk call you, don't answer the telephone. Say they not here. That's not being honest. You understand? Just tell them. Say, look, I remember I had a Thunderbird, and I had a couple of payments left on that Thunderbird, and the weather got real bad and crazy and stuff, and I couldn't work during that time, you know, because I was a cement finisher. And so around that time, man, everything, I mean, just looked like, you know, wasn't no work. So people called me up. No, they called my wife and said, if y'all don't make a payment, we come and take the car. And so they just sacked out real bad. So I got home, and she told me how they had called and how they had handled it. And so I went over to the bank, and I said to the man, I said, look, I said, the weather's bad, and right now I really don't have the money to pay you. I said, but as soon as the weather gets better, I will pay you all that I owe you. I said, now, if you ever call my house again and dog my wife out the way you did. So I told him, I said, now, suppose I was to call your house and dog your wife out, you know, because you didn't have a payment or whatever and stuff. And so he, you know, I got his attention, and I said, so don't ever call my house and dog my wife out. I said, because we're not trying to not pay you. I said, I just don't have the money right now to pay you. I had I had two notes left. Tell me, come and take it. Man, do you know the trouble you have? Come on, tell me, come and take something. I thought I paid for it for 3 years. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, and guess what? As soon as the weather broke, I paid my, went in so he could see me. I said, we weren't trying to dodge. I said, you got to look at the track record before you call people sacking them out the way you done did. Look at the track record. All you got to do is look at the track. You got the books. Look at it. Hey, man, we've been paying on time. You understand? So, I just had to get them straight. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, in the area of spending, must be girded with wisdom. I can't be just spending, you know, just because I got it. The areas of borrowing must be controlled by kingdom priorities. Don't just get out of control borrowing. You understand what I'm saying? It ought to be controlled by kingdom priorities. Believers must be taught to divide their income into three portions: tithes, bread, and seed. Number one, the tithe is the tenth of our gross income, not our net. Now, I like to say it like this. All right. When people say, what do I pay on the gross or the net? I tell them, I say, whatever one you want to pay on. Somebody say, ooh, whatever one. No. I've been talking. No. See, if I pay on the gross, then when Uncle Sam sent me that check, I don't have to tithe off of that. But the net, if I paid the net, when that money come in, I got the tithe off of that. Because, see, I've already tithe the gross. I've already tithe the whole thing before I even got anything. You understand what I'm saying? So if you want, you can give to the Lord now, you can give to him later. Praise the Lord, but you got to give to him. You understand what I'm saying? So that tithing, and a lot of times, and let me say this. Ooh, Lord, let me say this. Like the apostle is teaching us about progressive revelation. And unless you understand kingdom principles, you won't think that it makes sense to tithe. See, okay, watch this. All right. So the reason why on your job they take your taxes out is because Uncle Sam don't trust you. So whenever there's a system of taxation, and that's to make sure that, you know, everything in the country runs right and, you know, they new bridges and all kind of things and stuff. So in the kingdom of God, that's also a taxation system, which is called tithes. But watch this. The only difference between God and the government don't trust you. God said, I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna trust you to bring the tithe to me. Now, the tithe is not a payment, because a payment is something that you pay with your money. Tithe had to be brought to God because the tithe belongs to God. So he said, we got to give the tithe, not pay it. Or we got to bring the tithe to the storehouse. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a difference between my paying the tithes. People say, I got to pay my tithes. No, you got to give your tithes. The tithes already belong to God. God said, I'm gonna give it to you. Because see, what God got to establish with us, see, it's a government that he's established. But what God got to establish with us, God got to establish honesty and integrity in us. So God said, I'm going to allow you to bring it to me. You take the whole thing and bring me the tenth because it's mine. Give it, all right? So now, so we got the tithe there. Then there's the bread. The bread is the amount of money we need to sustain our lifestyles. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 said, now he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for your food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So if we live a lifestyle of debt and repayment, we're going to need a large bread loaf. Y'all with me? So this area is where most believers fail miserably. They buy too much too soon and credit and acquire massive debts. Let me say something. I'm going to say this because I got caught up in this when I first started pastoring. I got caught up in, see, a lot of times, instead of working the process, instead of, you know, tithing and learning how to sow, I got caught up with preachers who was trying to acquire things to look successful. So if the preacher down here got a Cadillac and it seemed like he's successful, well, you got to at least get you know, a Cadillac so you can look like you successful too. And so you can't get caught up on. So I got caught up and the Lord started speaking to me about that. The Lord said, now, success does not mean, watch this, y'all. You know, you can have somebody, person over here with a large ministry and somebody over here with a smaller ministry. Now, God may have just have called them to do bigger things than he's called the person over here. But the person who's obeying God is the person that's successful, doing what God told them to do wherever they are. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes we're looking at what other folk doing and what other folk got, and we trying to compete with them. The Bible said that those who compete with themselves are not wise. We can't be competing. It's not about competition. And so preachers, if they're not careful, they won't learn the principles of sowing. I got 5 minutes. Okay, all right, praise the Lord. They won't learn the principles of sowing because they're too busy trying to compete. And so you can't get caught up in that, you know, as a child of God, getting in competition and that kind of thing and stuff, because it's not wise. It's going to cause you to make some moves that going to hurt you in the long run. We have to learn how to, got to learn how to sow. So the buy first, pay later scheme often entices believers to own things they have no capacity to have. This forces them to desire to enjoy the luxury without paying the price. It's like choosing to have premarital sex before marriage and live a promiscuous lifestyle. Ooh, it's true will be married later, but by violating a divine principle, we open the door for demonic attacks, not only on our testimony, but also on our future married life. So do not choose to own anything we do not need or cannot afford. We must exercise total discipline of the will, a clear conscience, and kingdom priority to guard each and every decision. And then that's the seed. And we have to learn how to sow. We have to learn how to sow seeds. You know, God has tremendously blessed me because watch this. And I'm closing with this. You have to always sow where you are. You can't never sow for competition. You got to sow where you are. You with me? So I started off sowing $5 every time I saw the apostle. Years ago, I started off $5, and God started increasing me. God said, okay. So when increase came, I couldn't renege and start sowing less because it's going to cause me to stay on a lower level. But my levels kept climbing. My increase kept climbing because I kept on climbing with the seed. So you never get to a place where you're stagnated with your seed. You understand? All right. The test will be on chapter 4. Praise the Lord.